I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Welcome, everybody, to another edition of Bucky's Fifth Podcast. This is Jay Kokorowski. We got Owen Reese on the line as well. Another week of multiple podcasts because we are talking March Madness. We're talking NCAA tournament. You heard us Monday night. It was dropped really late, like 11 o'clock. I barely got any sleep last night, but we edited it, got it out to you guys. Drew Hamm, Owen, and I talked just overall Wisconsin's chances in the big dance and what lies ahead on Friday. And coming up on Thursday night, we'll probably drop it late Thursday night, early Friday morning, we'll have our spring position previews, talking quarterbacks and inside linebackers with John Veldheis from BadgerBlitz.com, our friends at the Rivals Network. But before that, now, talking about more NCAA tournament, we want to learn more about the Oregon Ducks. Number 12 seed, Pac-12 tournament champions. We turn to our friends, our cousins, our SB Nation cousins for that matter, at Addicted to Quack. We have Adam Chimeo, the managing editor of Addicted to Quack. How are you doing tonight, sir?
I'm doing great. What an awesome intro. I have my own podcast, so I know that those can be the most awkward parts sometimes. So great job on that.
I appreciate it. I mean, I rehearse about 50 times. Owen knows this. I talk about this about 50 times. I rehearse it in the mirror. It gets awkward when my kids are staring at me like, what is this kid, my dad doing on that? But we appreciate you coming on this Tuesday evening. We'll drop this later tonight after I edit it up. But Adam, I mean, real quick about Addicted to Quack. We actually talked about SB Nation names and Owen called it out. This is one of his favorite site names. With the team brands, talk about the site a little bit for us if you can, and how did the awesome name come to be?
It's a bit of a mystery, and I kind of like keeping it that way, mainly because I don't know. But our site is obviously, I'd say we take ourselves a little bit less seriously than some of the other SB Nation sites. Not that we don't have a lot of quality content, but we like to have a lot of fun. And I think that name kind of encapsulates not just the Oregon Ducks, but the Eugene Oregon's kind of style. But to tell you the truth, the site got started in, I believe, 2006. And I believe David Piper, our original managing editor, would have created that. But some puns are so simple that they just come to you. So who deserves the credit? You know, it was there for the taking and we got it.
Nice. Yeah, for sure. We were talking about that last night between that and then Mississippi State is for whom the cowbell tolls too. So we like that.
That's pretty fantastic.
For sure. So obviously Wisconsin and Oregon are going to play here in a couple days. But let's just take a short trip back to the 2014 NCAA tournament game in Milwaukee. Do you think there's any bad karma that could be headed Wisconsin's way kind of remembering back on that game?
Bad. Well, that's the thing with karma is like both teams have them, right? And so you never know whose turn it is that the karma die kind of rolls on you. But I don't know. I can tell you that there's not a whole lot of negative feelings on the Oregon side of it besides, oh no, we have to play Wisconsin again. It's because those 2 years were they were pretty interesting because they were Dana Altman finally kind of making his presence known for the Ducks. Obviously in that first game in Milwaukee, we were up, I think by like 12 points or so at the half. and you guys just rallied back real quick. And then, so that was 2 years in a row of us losing to you guys in the round of 32. But it was interesting because before that, we had gotten to the Sweet 16, first time in forever. After that, we went to the Elite Eight. We lost to Oklahoma. Then we lost in the Final Four. It was a huge moment in our history. So it's kind of like it got us some extra fire, I think. And then I believe in those two seasons that you guys beat us, you went to the Final Four both years. And then actually the championship game. Yeah. Yes. And I would say most, if I remember correctly, most Duck fans were rooting for the Badgers, certainly against Duke. I mean, we're not monsters, you know. And so I don't know if there's karma. It could be Oregon tends to, if we're going to lose, we're going to lose in spectacular fashion. We also tend to lose in threes. So all I'll say is if you guys beat us, I think you're going to win the Natty this year.
Can I just get a quick reaction on what your guys on your seed? Obviously, a 12 seed. We talked about this a bit last night. It's not the typical conference champion, especially like a Power 5 conference champion seed. I think probably pretty widely thought that Oregon probably needed to win that game, that championship game, to get into the tournament. So, what as a fan base, what's the kind of the thought or the perception of that 12 seed?
I would say it's actually very positive. Because there were stretches, especially after Bol Bol was injured against San Diego, there were long stretches where this team looked like they may not even make it to 20 wins. And before the streak of 8 wins in a row, which includes the 4 wins in the tournament, which, like you said, was very much needed for us to get in. Before then, this team just, it didn't look like it was going to take that typical Dana Altman uptick towards decent to great. And but once they actually started locking down on defense, I would say the fans really bought into it. And so just the fact that we were able to win the Pac-12 tournament, not only that, but kind of embarrass our rival the Huskies, the bad purple W, not the good fun red one, just that win, like, I think a lot of Duck fans are still riding off that. And even if they were to lose this first game, I think a lot of people would feel pretty great about the season overall, considering where it was going. And so, you know, this seeding, I think most people are grateful even to, you know, to not get the lowest one, even though we are, you know, the tournament champions. Pac-12 is, unlike what Bill Walton says, it is a bit of a truck stop conference right now.
I mean, so. Adam, too, with this, I get, you know, the Ducks ended their season 8-game winning streak. 4 of those games came in that Pac-12 tournament. How did Oregon end their season, and what was the difference with winning those 8 straight games compared to maybe what was happening before? And we've noted on last night's podcast talking about losing to UCLA twice, which right now is 110th in KenPom, or Texas Southern, that was 251st as of last night back in November. And that was with, if I'm not mistaken, Bol Bol, that was in, was he there? I think it was,
let's see. I know he got injured San Diego. I think he actually
wasn't there. Okay.
There,
gotcha.
At that point. Oh, no, you are right. He was there. I was gonna say, hard to believe, but he was there for Texas Southern.
With that, yes. Just what's the difference between now and maybe before that 8-game winning streak that allowed them to be so hot, and, you know, to have now these pundits with this 5-12 matchup, which everyone loves to predict the upsets. A lot of people like Oregon over Wisconsin.
Because you guys had a huge lead over UCLA in that first game too, right?
Oh, yeah. I think it was a 19-point lead or something like that. Yeah, again, just the tradition of blowing these big leads at Oregon. Sorry, I just had a flashback of the Alamo Bowl in football too. But I would say the big difference here, and there was a paper, some Oregon newspaper actually went deeper into this with Dana Altman, was just that the communication on defense was not there. And even when Bol Bol was here, I mean, like you said, we had our I would say our worst loss against Texas Southern. We had that with Bol Bol scoring 32 points and getting 11 rebounds. So even when he was out there, our defense was very questionable, and our offense outside of Bol Bol was basically non-existent. So I think what it really came down to was just locking down on the fundamentals, which was just actually talking on defense, playing with just 100% energy on this full court press, really dedicating themselves to what Altman has done in the past. And then Kenny Wooten came back from a jaw injury. Lewis King started to learn the system after missing a handful of the first games. They learned to play without Bol Bol. And then finally, Peyton Pritchard really started to heat up and make things happen.
I think it maybe goes into our next question about that too, where this is a player, Pritchard's, you know, I'm looking at this, the Oregon game notes, by the way, Adam, and I see that four of the five presumed or tentative starters are at least 6'9". And then you have Peyton Pritchard, obviously, who's 6'2", averaging just under 13 points, about 4.5 assists per game, while grabbing 3.7 rebounds per contest as well. This is a kid that Wisconsin tried to recruit. He was a recruiting target for Greg Gard and whatnot. But I'm just wondering with what really, how has he progressed and what's that skill set and his impact on both ends of the court that's made him so good this year?
Well, he's had a pretty interesting career with Oregon. He's just a junior, actually, but he was a starter his freshman year on that Final Four team. Last year was kind of a train wreck for a lot of reasons, but starting with his sophomore year, people were really expecting him to just become a leader because our team was so young at that point. This year, it seemed about halfway through the season, as with communication improving, I think that was a big part of Pritchard's game here. It's just that he really, as generic as it sounds, became a leader, much more of a leader here. And then just kind of went, instead of just constantly with that weave, trying to set up something and then just at the last second passing it out for a three or just taking the three himself, he's actually been taking it to the basket a lot more like that Dylan Brooks role that we haven't had in years. And so, surprisingly, even though he's one of the less athletic people on the roster, he's really turned into our points getter. And actually, there's this really, if you have the time, I know it's March Madness, so you probably don't have the time, but there's a pretty hysterical dunk that he did over the Huskies. Like a left-handed dunk that is just
the ball barely got over the rim, in the dunk, and then he flexed.
Nice.
Yeah, exactly. He'd be like me if I did it on a not regulation hoop. Like that'd be the greatest highlight of my life. So it was great. Oh yeah. Sorry.
So speaking about the athleticism or lack thereof, with Pritchard, obviously, Oregon's starting lineup is pretty sizable. Obviously, even without Bol Bol, they got four guys that are 6'9 or taller. How effective has that been? And has that really been a bit of that difference is the size disparity that Oregon typically will have over their opponents?
I think it's definitely come into play quite a bit because our bench is pretty good with size and skill and even some experience. But it's been since Bol Bol has been out, Francis Okoro, our freshman who actually had to here a little bit early. He should be in high school. He's 6'9", and he's really stepped into that role. Not so much offensively like Bol Bol was doing where you could take over a game. But him and Kenny Wooten and to a certain extent Paul White have all just protected that rim, especially Kenny Wooten, who I believe last year broke the record for most blocks in a single season for Oregon. He has he's really got that Jordan Bell mentality of just really making you double think about going for what should be an easy shot. And so I think that height has really mattered there. And then slowly but surely improving on rebounds is always going to be good. So I think that's where the athleticism has really helped us.
Okay, so I think you probably brought this up a bit earlier, and obviously with the winning streak here, they are playing well. But in particular, which areas has Oregon really played well over this stretch? And then what areas have they maybe struggled at or could stand to improve heading into the tournament in this win or go home scenario?
I would say when we look like a March Madness worthy team, we are a very good defensive team. We are a defensive minded team. And when we get the turnovers, we're going for those fast points, really trying to use our athleticism to get down the court, score as quickly as possible, and just nonstop pressure. So that's what it's going to look like if we're going to win. Those are our strengths, blocking shots, usually hitting free throws, though not so much in Pac-12 tournament, actually. But that's where we're going to look good. Other than that, I think if you can consistently hit the three, if you can not get intimidated by Oregon's constantly changing defense, and if you can just go out there and not be intimidated by Kenny Wooten either, and really move the ball around, if you can really score on us, it's our offense has a lot of times been very much stoppable. And we've lost some games that we should not have lost because we just simply can't get it started with or without Bol Bol. So I think, and the other thing is, if you really get someone on Pritchard, if you take Pritchard out of the game offensively, we don't really seem to have that player who's as good as just cutting to the basket. So I would say, yeah, score over 70 on us, and I don't think we're winning it.
You know who you're playing, right?
Yeah, that's true. No, that's why this game's going to be awesome, though, actually, because it's going to be ugly for a while, and I really love that.
It's going to be a rock fight. I mean, depending on how far both teams get. And then you have potentially Kansas State, which has, I think, the fourth best defense in terms of adjusted efficiency.
That's right.
According to KenPom. And then there's Virginia right after that. You're just like, what? What were these guys thinking when they, like, you knew what these folks were thinking about in the committee. They're like, let's put the toughest defenses together and just see how low they can score.
Okay. I should say, but first to like 40 wins then. How about that?
There we go. Nice. And we're here with Adam Chimeo from Addicted to Quack here on Bucky's Fifth Podcast. Let's take a quick break. We'll then wrap up here on Bucky's Fifth Podcast.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
All right, everybody, welcome back to this newest edition here of Bucky's Fifth Podcast. We're here with Adam Chimeo, the lead editor of our cousin SB Nation site, Addicted to Quack, the Oregon site. And heading into the contest here on Friday with between the Badgers and the Ducks in the first round of the NCAA tournament, Adam, what is the – we mentioned this a bit earlier. You're talking about, oh, great, we're playing Wisconsin again. What is Oregon's – perception of the Wisconsin program and kind of, you know, what's the thought heading into this game? Is it that another dreaded slow paced game? I know the last couple of times played you guys, obviously with Kaminsky and whatnot, Wisconsin's offense was a bit different than it is now. So I guess what is the Oregon's thought or the fan base's thought kind of heading into this game?
I think general dread is the main thought in it. I don't know. I know certain fan bases, some will be cockier than others. I feel like at our site, we tend to be very much pessimistic. And I think it's just Wisconsin, just how regularly good they are, I think really intimidates us. Not only that, but their record against us. And then, you know, we focus a lot on Pac-12 basketball, unfortunately, because we have to. So Ethan Happ, that guy seems very intimidating to me. Very consistent. He seems like someone who can just kind of blow past Kenny Wooten and our shot blockers. So I always think of Wisconsin does always seem kind of, it's even if this isn't fair, I always think of that kind of, you know, what they say on TV, the blue collar mentality, that they're going to come in there, play fundamental basketball that won't be the prettiest, but they'll win. And that scares me, because at our worst, we've just looked undisciplined. And so I'm not sure whether to go with the total homer, like, oh, I think Oregon's going to really open some eyes and, you know, maybe make it back to the at least Sweet 16 or something, or to just expect the worst and just, because the Pac-12 competition hasn't been very good. So, and in my head, Wisconsin, even with their, this season, it seems like, again, I'm kind of talking out of my butt here, but it seems like Wisconsin did well, but not quite, wasn't able to win those big games. I think this is not going to be a big game for them. I'm pretty horrified of them, is what I'll say. That's, I guess, at least how I feel about the Badgers.
Because that's what we talked about that a bit last night with Kenny Wooten being such a prolific shot blocker, and Ethan Happ is like a 22-year-old version of like the 45-year-old at the Y League, who's like really good and but never leaves the floor. But like,
yeah,
if Kenny Wooten cannot fall for the 4 pump fakes per possession that Happ gives up, I think you go as a guy, all right. But I think you, whether it was intentional or not, I think you're pretty close. Wisconsin did beat Michigan at the Kohl Center, which was a huge, a prolific win for UW. At the time, Michigan was, I believe, number 2 in the country. But you're right. Yep. You're not far off. Wisconsin really kind of has struggled too. I think any given game, Wisconsin's capable of beating almost any team in the country. But their margin for error, kind of with their play style, is small enough to where that can be difficult at times, kind of given that talent gap. So while you may have been unintentionally not talking out of your butt, you weren't far off.
Okay. Yeah, that is the other thing, is another possible advantage I could see is it seems like every turnover is going to count a lot more against the Badgers, because the Ducks do like to race down the floor. So I feel like there's another possible advantage. But I don't know, pretty good matchup for the first game of a series here.
It is. It'll be fun just to watch. Again, for us here in Wisconsin, approximately 3:30 p.m. Central Time on TBS. For you out in Eugene, it's going to be 1:30 p.m. in the afternoon Pacific Time. So hopefully a long lunch from people's day jobs out there, or just take a half day. These next Thursday and Friday should just be national holidays, being honest.
Agreed.
You have I mean, that's how I feel. I mean, when I used to have my day career, I would go and I would actually set up projectors everywhere where, you know, for our sites. And so during lunch breaks, people could come in and they'd sit and watch the games and whatnot. So that was a lot of fun. But I know I'll have my 3 TVs set up at home, getting ready, all in the same room. We'll see what my wife says about that. My amazing, loving, nurturing wife, on that note. But game predictions coming up.
Oh, no.
Game prediction, again, 3:30 p.m. Central Time, the SAP Center in San Jose, California. Number 12, Oregon Ducks. Number 5, seed, Wisconsin Badgers. Who you got?
Oh, okay. Well, these score predictions, they're always so much less reason for me. It's always kind of trying to play the karma game. That being said, I'm gonna say Ducks win 68-63. That being said, every time I've gone on the record predicting they're gonna win, they usually lose comically, even so. We'll see what happens here. I may have doomed them.
And then my last thing for you, who comes out of the South to head to the Final Four? Is it Virginia? Could it be Tennessee? Who comes out of the South with, you know, to represent that region in the Final Four?
I wish I had a more exciting answer, but I think I'm going to have to go with Virginia. If they can get past that 16 seed, I think they got a shot.
Somewhere Caroline Darney will hear this and she will have words for you, sir. Oh, yeah. I'll make sure she listens, just being like, Adam from Addicted to Quack, he's talking some crap here. This is going to be great. It's going to be phenomenal.
Budget cuts at ATQ coming up, I think.
But always, Adam, it's great having you on. It's great meeting you and talking some college basketball. Enjoy, of course, what lies ahead with March Madness. I know it's already starting right now as we're recording with the first four, but enjoy your time just in watching the NCAA tournament and looking forward to talking with you down the road.
Thanks a lot. We call it Mallard Madness here, but yeah, we will do. Let's talk again sometime, maybe over a Rose Bowl or something like that. That'd be great.
Ooh, so harsh.
Really not talk more.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't even mean that as a jab. Sorry about that.
Adam Tomeo, folks, his only appearance on Bucky's Fifth Podcast, the managing director of Addicted to Quack.
We'll have you on Quack 12 sometime. That'd be great.
That's a nice
hell
name.
Yeah.
I like that. On that note, Owen, let's take us home here. Where can people find us?
For sure. Thanks for joining us tonight. Obviously, we're kind of cooking through here leading up to the NCAA tournament. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, and any other place that you can find podcasts. 5-star Frog Splash reviews only, like we're Rob Van Dam. We're getting out here. Give us reviews. Let us know what we can improve. Let us know what you like about the show. And feel free to talk as much quack, wow, that was awful, as you can about Oregon. Like I said, thanks again for listening. And then, like I said, leave us a review. Let us know how we can improve.
Look at you doing these puns. Like, I'm really rubbing off on you. Oh my God.
It's rubbing off. Yeah. Do you need a job?
Oh man. No, that's awesome. On that note, folks, for Adam Chimeo, for Owen Reese, this is Jay Kokorowski signing off. We'll talk to you guys later this week. John Veldheis, BadgerBlitz.com. Breaking down with us the quarterbacks and the inside linebackers for Wisconsin Spring Ball, which starts next week. But tune in, early, you know, coming up this week, some more analysis and breakdowns here on Bucky's Fifth Podcast. Thank you.